is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Holy smoke. This, wow, this chili, is it brisket chili? What is it? Is it a brisket? Brisket, ground, ground what? Sirloin and chili and jalapenos. Wow. It is wow. Phobos Q here in studio with Dr. Dre. I don't know how Dr. Dre weaseled his way into this thing, but today's Berea Taco Day. Get up to it's. I like when you come here, okay? I like it better when you come here, okay? Does Del go up to Atascocita? No.
Well, I'm farther away from Atascocita than you are.
I am way far. It's
you're not the people's far. Champ, Lance.
No, I'm going to go up to Atascocita. I'll go see him. I'll go play Tour 18 and go. And go to his place. That's what I'm talking about. But wow, and this boudin mac and cheese. Wow, he is something. Raul can cook now. Is Lance out there telling him how to do it?
I would hope not. It's always embarrassing when he does.
It really is. Anytime there's anybody who can cook here, Lance. Let me tell you how I do it.
Like, does Lance appreciate people jumping into his DMs and telling him how they analyze the guard from West Virginia?
Well, they do that too.
Yeah, but does he like it?
So maybe that's why he does it. If it's got to happen to me, it's going to happen to you.
Maybe he has some empathy. I don't like it, so am I going to do it to other people?
Yeah.
When I'm just an amateur when it comes to making dry ass brisket.
This Carlos Correa story is a little surprising because all the word that I've gotten out of the Astros, they were very appreciative of Carlos Correa and how he stood up for the organization, how he clapped back, how he was outspoken, how he stepped up in the postseason. I know it actually got kind of emotional, actually. And to hear that he's on the trade block is a little bit surprising. But maybe they think that they can't sign him. But all of the things that I had heard is that it was kind of amicable and it might be able to get done. See, I think Carlos, if he took let's say, you know, he's got 1 year left in arbitration. He's going to make more money. He got eight this year. Was it 8 or 12 this year? I think I forget which one. He got 5 and 8. He got 8 this year. If he gets 13 in this final year, it's still out there whether or not he's going to be able to play 162 games. That's still out there. But he's not going to be a $30 million guy. He's not getting 6 years, $180 million. I don't believe in free agency.
So you think this rumored deal is because of a fear of not being able to give him what he's going to ask for?
Well, maybe they've already started talking behind the scenes and saying, how about we do a 4-year 80 or, you know, 5-year 100 with him? We'll give him $100 million is that's nice money. I missed when we started spitting on $100 million, but but maybe Carlos thinks, hey, I'm gonna get more than that. Do you believe when after this year, when Carlos is done with his last year arbitration and becomes a free agent, that he's a $25 to $30 million a year guy?
How much does defense play a part in that, Sal?
Well, to me, the whole thing is rides on because he can play defense. He had his terrible spell after the ribs where he was, you know, he looked like he was afraid at the plate, but he got out of that. The whole thing is, will he be on the field for me?
Well,
And still, you can't. He still hasn't proven that.
With Alex Bregman's deal, I'm just looking at that one. It's a team-friendly deal early. It's that kicks
yes.
in 11. Then it jumps to 28.5 in 23 when he's 29 years old.
But they believed in him more, no? Because he was on the field?
Yes, but the numbers this year were, and they were a step back for almost a lot of people in baseball, a lot of particularly some stars in baseball. Should he plays a premium position in shortstop. Should he be making less than Alex Bregman over the course of a deal?
Over the course of his deal,
5 years, 100 for Alex Bregman.
We'll see. Well, now those were arbitration years too, and team control years and arbitration years that Alex Bregman cashed in on. He got $100 million out of it, and while Carlos had to go through $5 million, $8 million, whatever it is this year on his arbitration, and he didn't get paid on his team control years. I guess the organization feels Alex Bregman does deserve more.
Okay, then if that's the decision they've made, now they made it. Before this past season, where Carlos became the ringleader of everything that is Astros baseball currently, the leader of the team, at least from the outside looking in. But if they believe that Alex Bregman should make that, then I guess you part ways, because if you're not even gonna match what Alex Bregman is making, what does Carlos Correa think about that?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's probably. I guess Carlos Correa would go, wait a minute, hold on a second. You took care of this guy in his second year in the league, and I sat here through all six.
And had to go through those negotiations over and over again.
Yeah, right. I could see where Carlos would say, no, I'm going to go test the market.
And if the Astros believe they can't come to an agreement where the numbers work for them and work for Carlos, then I guess you do explore finding a way out of it.
So, but I'm telling you, I know a thing or two. I think this is coming out of nowhere.
I know you have said a couple times yes. you believe a deal was going to get done.
Yes, I think this is coming out of left field.
Did the numbers
I think this is going to be news to the Correa camp.
Oh, do you think?
I know it's going to be news to the Correa camp.
So for the last month or two, however long this has been going on, they've been kind of lockstep with the numbers with the Astros, and all of a sudden the Astros are like, man, we're not sure about this anymore.
Or they kind of feel like they can't get it done. You know, or in the initial talks, but that's awfully, it's pretty premature. Now, don't you want to, do you want, you see, here's the thing about the guy in his last year of arbitration. Do you want to let him walk? Or do you have to get something for him? Do you want to send him to a team where he might be able to sign long-term and you can get, if he can sign long-term, if it's a one-year rental or for Carlos Correa, then probably the organization. This could be Carlos's free agency year right here in that he can work out a deal with a good team and in a long-term big deal. And, you know, and the Astros could get something out of it too.
Yeah, and the value, what is Carlos, the value of the return for Carlos Correa if, let's say, the Astros don't have the year we want, and or the Astros decide, you know what, we cannot lose this guy, negotiations have not gone the way we thought, we can't lose him for nothing. You have less leverage later.
Yeah. Right. Right. So if we're not going to be able to get this deal done, we're not sure right now about fans in the stands. We're not sure, are we? I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're thinking, if you want to know the truth, because this is coming out of left field.
Man, to lose with that news, to lose Correa and Springer in the same offseason?
Yeah, and Brantley?
Yeah.
Wow. This would be a tough offseason.
Yeah, because there was some optimism, at least as we were talking about how maybe Brantley comes back, you keep Correa, you expect Springer to go. Who knows with Yordan, with the young pitching staff, the window gets a little wider as opposed to without Verlander, maybe the window being completely closed with your young pitching staff and how the starters are Keedy and Fromber. Maybe you make one more run at it. If Correa and Springer and Brantley are gone, you're just saying forget about it.
Right. Well, you better get something in return now.
Yep.
But and here's the thing is you lose Springer, Brantley, and Correa, but you know what are you getting back?
Well, you're because getting
that's the direction you're going to take. Then it better be something. It better be a nice package.
Well, you're getting draft picks for Brantley and Springer,
right?
And then Correa, you're looking for legitimate major leaguers, or would you settle for prospects?
Well, you might take on somebody else's short term guy. I don't know. I don't know if I'd want prospects unless they're big name prospects, yeah. Especially if Correa does do a deal before he goes there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, you got him long term. We need something. 1012 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
SportsMapBets.com is live. Stay up to date with betting guides for this week's NFL and college football action, or check out SportsMapBets research tools and keep the lead in your fantasy league. SportsMapBets.com has all the info you need to make the best play.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Del, did you get this chili?
No, I had breakfast, so it'll probably just be a later lunch for me.
But you got the chili?
Oh, you mean yes. Was I given chili? Yeah. I just haven't had any yet.
Holy crap. This is... It is spicy, but it is good. Holy crap. Sirloin, brisket in it, and Cobos Q. Raul does a hell of a job. How did he get hooked up with Dr. Dre?
I don't know. I don't know why Dr. Dre decided to make this particular trip.
How's Dr. Dre glomming on this relationship?
Is he doing any work, or is he just hanging out?
I don't know. Dr. Dre, you stop trying to take Raul's shine, right? Get the F out of here. Okay. F-O-H.
Okay. All right.
This is about Raul and Cobos Q. Okay, not Dr. Dre. 713-780-3776. He flipped me off before he left the studio.
You probably deserved
it. Yeah, well, it was nice. 713-780-3776. So the Cowboys had to close their facility today. The game's only 2 days away. Do you notice how much different it is? As soon as anything happens in college football, cancel, cancel, cancel. You notice the NFL? You're playing through it, pal.
Yeah. Are the protocols so much different that, I mean, who did we see early that had a potential? The Titans. They're the one team who had the community spread outbreak within the team. Other than that, the Raiders had to all go. Their offensive line had to go on a COVID list, but they all came back to play that same week because they didn't test positive. I want, what are the protocols in place that keep spread? I guess they're not college kids, so they're less likely to do something stupid. Because we've seen players test positive, like the Ravens have two backs testing positive, and that might make some sense. You're in the same room, maybe the meeting room or whatever. but it's not like it's spread to the wide receivers and the offensive line. It's at this point limited to the two guys.
Yeah. Listen, do you think that there's any doubt that the Cowboys will play on Thursday?
As long as there isn't a clear transmission to others, yeah.
They'll play.
I'm talking about if there's like a group that gets wiped out, like the offensive line is just done for and they can't play. Yeah, they won't play. But if it's like, oh, we have some issues, but we found a way and no one's testing positive, they'll play.
But can you imagine no game on no afternoon game, Dallas Cowboy Thanksgiving game?
It would clear break from tradition.
Be like, yeah, it's all right, go play.
Even if there's positive tests.
I mean, you can hide it on Sunday that a game is missed, move it to Monday or whatever. Yeah, even with positive tests.
I don't think they're playing I don't think the guys who have positive tests are playing, but if there's like three guys from the same position group, they'll just say, hey, elevate some guys. As long as they can run out the six or seven offensive linemen they need, which we always point to that group because that's the one that's always considered the most important as far as getting a game on. If you got multiple practice squad offensive linemen.
Yep. Bring them up.
They'll get brought up.
Guess what? You bring them up. By the way, you suck anyway, Dallas.
Well, they're in the division race.
Are they?
Yes.
Are they, though?
They have three wins, just like the division leader, I mean.
Are they, though?
Yes.
To me, I mean, they did play much better. I thought they were going to get their ass kicked by Minnesota. That just is terrible. That was just the worst day of my life.
Don't underestimate Andy Dalton, sir.
Andy actually looked pretty good. He was throwing a nice ball.
Yeah, it is.
He had some time.
It is. It's not amazing, but look at that. There's a competent quarterback on the field, and your team looks better as opposed to the DiNucci's. And even though Garrett Gilbert didn't play that terribly, but DiNucci or Garrett Gilbert on the field, and all of a sudden there's a guy who started and won games, and you have a shot. Look how that worked out.
Yeah, it worked out pretty damn well. 713-7803. I'm watching Carlos Correa throw a guy out from the left field. Oh, against the Indians. Go sit down. Jason Kipnis with a double. And the relay comes in and Carlos Correa. I will miss if Carlos isn't here. Man, I'll miss that defense, bro. I will miss that defense. So that is gonna be this emergency situation did not involve Jerry Jones. The medical situation took place this morning before the Cowboys owner made his regularly scheduled radio appearance.
So it's a non-COVID medical emergency. So it has nothing to do with COVID.
Cowboys practice is not COVID related.
Yeah, it's a non-COVID medical emergency.
A medical emergency with a staffer. Yeah, you see how the NFL's already hiding it.
Okay.
It was multiple positive tests, and they just said, nah.
I think you were making that first part up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the way it happened.
I'm pretty sure. I don't believe you. So we'll see. Looks that game is probably on unless there's – look, I don't even know what would cancel a game at this point. A non-COVID medical emergency means it's not something that's spread throughout the team. Hopefully whoever is under the rest, that gets worked out. But even the press conference from Mike McCarthy will not go on as scheduled. No media availability. Hopefully it's not as serious as it seems when you're canceling practice over it. I mean, because if it was a football player who got sick, non-COVID stuff, they would continue to practice. So I wonder how bad it is.
It must be.
Everything is shut down.
Something, yeah. If a staffer had an emergency, they'd be go, okay, get the ambulance. Okay, yeah. Let's go, guys. Go to practice. This is weird.
It is weird.
Very strange.
A medical emergency unrelated to the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unrelated. Daryl Morey says that he was looked at by an NFL team. He says a couple NBA teams, an NFL team, a baseball team, a couple places reached out. I told him I probably don't know enough. I'll be honest. It would be very presumptive for me to think I could help an NFL team, but they did reach out. I just figure my skills are just much higher and better in the NBA, just with the experience and everything. But it was an intriguing idea. I think Daryl Morey would make it'd take a while to learn all the players, right?
What
if you're in personnel forever, you know, you see a guy that's on waivers and you immediately comes to mind what you saw of him in college. How you've been watching him, how you've been watching the league, how you've seen him play. And you can it's an instant recall. For Daryl, that would be all foreign.
As much as Daryl is beloved by media, if that actually went down, I think it would be a bad look for the NFL, considering what they're putting in place to put minorities in places to get jobs, what the incentives they're adding. Now, I know, experienced GM in another sport, you're going to say, wait a minute. You guys would rather pick a guy who's never done this for this sport before than elevate someone that – look, I'm not even –
It's happening with Dee Podesta.
I know, but considering the push – that I don't know if the push was the same when they hired Dee Podesta. The push to make sure minority candidates are considered and hired at those levels, and then you hire a basketball GM to do the job – I mean, they can explain it. You can explain
a white
anything.
One.
Well, yeah, that's the other part. But it would just, it would be something that would get, they would get railed for doing it. I don't even know how deep the conversations got.
Yeah, I think it, well, and here's the thing about Dee Podesta, too, is he's not the general manager. He's a consultant.
Okay. You're putting Daryl Morey as the general manager of your football team in a job.
Right.
He has no background in football other than the fantasy league he plays in with Lance, I guess, whoever else he plays with. There will be questions asked. What? There were no other qualified candidates, no minority candidates that you thought were worthy of the job, and then you hire the name from basketball? Good luck explaining
it
away.
Well, we hired a smart guy. We want to do analytics. That's what we want to, that's how
what
we want to change our organization.
What about drafting football players? What does he know
but
about
there's
that?
Nobody in the NFL that does that, though. I mean, it is actually frowned upon.
What?
It's actually, you know, analytics is poo-pooed. Analytics was poo-pooed in baseball. I remember when Luno was hired and the Astros, they started losing. There were so – I know some scouts, Astro scouts, and they were like, you see, they're getting what they deserve. Oh, we're not good enough. Well, Luno came in there, cleaned house. This is how we're going to do it now, blah, blah, blah. You know, same way in Oakland for years. That's how, you know, this is how we go about it. We're not going to do it the traditional way. And they all said, you got to see players. You got to be out there. You got to sit in that heat in Lubbock or where in East Texas and, you know, behind the plate. And you got to shoot your gun. Otherwise, you don't know about the kid. Well, it turns out Jeff Luno knew a thing or two, and he was actually pretty good at what he did. But football, there's nobody. Nobody. I think they're looking now at numbers of how, you know, first down. Analytically, they're looking at what calls we make on first down.
When the
what's the success rate?
Like I've seen now, when you're down by,
right?
You're down by what is it? It's the 2-point conversion thing, and you're like, if you are, God, what is it? I don't know. I forgot what the actual point total is, but because Manny Diaz did this last year, the Miami head coach, he was down by, was it 15? No, it was 14. He was down by 14. They scored a touchdown. Instead of kicking the extra point, he went for two.
Right.
To go down by six, he got it, so he would have a chance to win the game on the next possession.
Right.
So I see that other coaches are doing that too now. When normally, you're down by 14, you kick the extra point, you're down by 7, you try to tie the game.
It happened in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I don't remember the game.
I forget who it was.
But that's happening more now, and that's an analytics thing. But as far as players, right. Acquiring players through analytics,
right?
I don't see that flying.
Evaluating players through analytics, it's not happening.
No.
That's not happening at all. I mean, they're doing some of that. I know that they were doing some of that in Cleveland, and it was, you know. And then every time they make a mistake, it's like, you see... But they, you know, they were, it's frowned upon still in the NFL, you know, and I don't know that it's ever going to come around. I don't know that now if somebody hired a Daryl Morey, we're looking at this through numbers now. It would be interesting to see if the you know, the Theo Epsteins and the Friedmans and the Daryl Moreys and the way that these guys look at things would work in the NFL. But everybody, Lance, everybody. Oh, you just can't do it in the NFL because there are too many different variations. Like who's this blocker? How this guy's rushing him 1 week. That this guy's the defensive end the next week. Yeah, you got to be able to evaluate those guys to tell, and you got to look at his footwork. You got to look at everything about it, not just how many sacks did he give up?
Yeah, could you get, I don't know what the equivalent is, could you go grab a Ben McLemore off the version of him from the in football, grab him a bust from the first round off the scrap heap, guy couldn't play, put him in a particular system, and all of a sudden he's an effective player on a different team? I mean,
yeah,
like Vernon Hargraves was terrible. They grabbed him off the, and he's still not good. Can that type of stuff translate to football?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially at the quarterback position or running back position. I put him in a system that makes sense for him. If he's not a pocket passer and I put him out and bootleg him.
But there's always a certain level. Like Ben McLemore shot the ball really well. And then for whatever reason, D'Antoni, whatever, decided he couldn't play in the playoffs. But there's only a certain level he is going to be able to reach no matter what system you put him in.
Right.
I think that's the same to be said for a quarterback, too. Like, you're not going to turn Josh Rosen potentially into...
Well, maybe not Josh Rosen, but Rich Gannon went from can't play anymore to a league MVP. I mean, because...
Was that analytics or just a system that...
A system? But that's analytics, isn't it? Putting him in the right system?
I would have to ask John Gruden what he saw in Rich Gannon. Right. Rich Gannon had made the playoffs, right, before? Maybe with the Chiefs or the Vikings at some point?
Yeah, but they...
He was competent. Josh Rosen has, at this point, been non-competent.
Well, is anybody that's incompetent that you can make competent?
I don't know. Well, I don't know if he's incompetent. He just hasn't played well enough. Rich Gannon had started multiple seasons and was okay, but was never an MVP. And then he became an MVP with John Gruden.
Right.
I don't know.
Brad Johnson went from...
He was he was better in Tampa Bay. But he wasn't great, but he was enough for what that team needed. I don't know if the NFL could get with it.
It's 1029 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts about this or anything else? Carlos Correa, our Boogie Cousins, your Texans, anything. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, apparently, your boy Dabo just won't stop, will he? And Mike Norvell clapped back a little bit.
Well, Mike Norvell, did he do it already? Because I know Mike Norvell had some words yesterday before Dabo did his call-in show. And then, I mean, Dabo loves to play the victim. I listened to a podcast, and they said, this is about the time of the year where Dabo is like, no one believes in Clemson. Poor old Clemson, that's always been his shtick. And he doesn't really have anything to talk about as far as games, because they haven't played in a while. They'll be back in action as a big favorite against Pitt. So now, it was an attack on my program and the players. No one's attacking the players, Dabo. If anything, people are attacking you and your protocols. He likes being the victim. He loves being in the mode where Clemson's the underdog. Sorry, no one's looking for that anymore. You're not. Stop it.
What? Yeah. Stop. Come on.
Enough.
Dabo is—he's a national treasure.
No, he's not.
And so, your thoughts? As a Miami fan who gets his ass kicked by Clemson every year.
Well, every couple of years, but yes, we do get our ass kicked
every time you play him. I mean,
yes.
So, I mean, you can stop. You can stop with the. You can stop with the Dabo, look, jealousy.
This is from Anna Hickey, who covers Clemson for 24/7 Sports. Dabo tonight, when asked about Norvell's comments, it's an insult to the credibility of our program. We didn't travel anybody with symptoms. Are you kidding me? I'm not trying to be a doctor. I just listen to doctors. Their coach can say whatever he wants to say. No, you allowed someone to be around your team who had symptoms earlier in the week, and then he got to travel because he continued to test negative, and then lo and behold, once Friday hit, then he tested positive. Because let's just be lax on a potential positive case with COVID during the week. It would have been simple enough. And even Dabo said it. Like, it's not like he was even going to play. He's a backup offensive lineman. If he wasn't going to play, then why did you practice him? Why did you take the chance?
Listen, Coach Dabo is a saint.
He's not.
And I think you can stop with all your nonsense.
I wish you would just stop talking about this. Enough. No one's attacking your program. No one's attacking your kids. He's the worst.
All I can tell you is we've done all year, and there's been positives all year at every program. We've not had many, but we've had positives.
Like your quarterback.
We had no positives yesterday. Zero. We tested yesterday, zero. We had 150 tests Friday. One positive. And we didn't travel anybody with symptoms. Are you kidding me? This was a backup offensive lineman. Wasn't even going to play. Do you think? I mean, it's just crazy. And you people, you and Mike Norvell, all you Florida State people.
Oh, that's what I am?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not suggesting that even there would have been team-to-team spread because we haven't seen evidence of that. Now the offensive line is not that the kid would have played. Actually, you know what? You're playing Florida State. The kid probably would have played. He probably would have played. Yeah. But let's just say for some reason it was close. And his position group had COVID developing but weren't at the point where it was going to test positive. I haven't even seen team spread from one team to the other. So I don't even know if that would happen if there were some guys who were positive. But I don't fault Florida State for taking some issues with Clemson and the way they handle things because Clemson probably offered the information that this kid practiced all week. How did they find out that I don't know how they found out the kid practiced all week and had symptoms. I just think leave it alone, Dabo. Stop stretching this out. It's on your call-in show, which is a very comfortable place where you can say whatever you want. Whatever. You got a game. Move on. Stop talking about it.
Dabo on FSU, he's still talking about it. I'm not really worried much about what they say down there in Tallahassee. I've been in the league 18 years. I've been the head coach for 12. They've had three head coaches in 4 years. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. Y'all don't listen. I didn't say they wanted to forfeit the game. I said it should be a forfeit because we were going to kick their ass.
Well, yeah. I read somewhere that it might also have some implications as far as the ACC title game because apparently there's a rule that you have to be within one game of the average number of conference games played by the entire league. You have to be within one or a percentage of one, whatever that comes out to be. So if they don't play, so they would probably have to reschedule the game. And right now, Clemson, if they win the rest of their games, would have a week off before the title game, while Notre Dame won't have the week off because they're scheduled to play Wake Forest. So if they have to lose their bye week to go down there and play that game, that might be another reason why he's a little upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would have had an advantage going into that game, but if they're forced to play it, who knows, an injury might happen.
Florida State was a bunch of pussies.
Well, I don't mind you calling them that because I'm not a Florida State fan. Call them whatever you want.
I called you Florida State Dell.
That's Alan insulting.
Allen is none too pleased with that.
I'm not too pleased.
We're having enough problems. You don't give us Dell.
Yeah, you wouldn't want a guy who's a fan of the team who's beaten your ass 4 years in a row.
Ooh, take that, Allen. Suck on that.
Allen, there are 62 points scored in the Florida State-Miami game. And that's a big number. The problem is you guys only scored 10.
Hmm. It's Jason's turn to talk on the radio. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I just want to get you guys' thoughts. You probably covered it yesterday on the Patriots-Texans game. Number one, do you think the Patriots dynasty is over? I tend to think it kind of is. And then also what it means for the Texans as well as they played. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Do I think the Patriots dynasty is over? Yes. The answer is yes. I think that, once 12 left, once 12 started to deteriorate, I think 12 was the reason for that whole dynasty. Now, Belichick is good. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to. But once you lost that guy, you got to get yourself another. And maybe they go out and get, there's plenty of good quarterbacks in this draft. They got to find one, though. And you build around that and then put some pieces together. Get some better weapons because they let that disintegrate. There's really nobody that scares you offensively. Nobody that scares you offensively.
Yeah, watching that game, it felt like Cam was back at Auburn with all the trickeration, misdirection, fake handoff, all the things they tried to do to manufacture yards as opposed to just having guys go out there and beat another guy. Even against the Texans secondary. Didn't we talk about that? This might be the worst matchup of skill position players versus secondary in all of football.
Right. I don't know that you can find a worse matchup.
No, it's lack of talent on both sides, and it played out that way. Ooh, and I still go back to watching Cam try to throw a Hail Mary.
Oh my gosh!
He was like at the 45 or so or whatever. They took that snap and got it to the 20 or the 15. He's had injury issues, and it was apparent on that throw.
I mean, every throw. I mean, he did make some outs. Yeah. He did throw some outs, but when he does, it's like he's got to wind up and throw it from the ground.
Yeah, even the deep ball that Bird caught, he was supposed to look like the route was leading him to the corner of the end zone, and Bird had to make the adjustment, and Gaines didn't make the play, and he scored. It was a nice catch by Bird, but, I mean, it's still the Texans, so he put up a lot of yards because the Texans give up a lot of yards, but they're only 20 points.
When they went down the field and scored in the first drive, I was just like, what a bunch of...
Yeah.
Is the dynasty over? Yes. What about the Texans? I think you got four.
And you're going to have a shot.
And you got a shot. You got a shot because you got four. You know what? This could be, end up a 7-9 season.
That would be unfortunate.
Yeah, I know you'd hate that. It honestly could. A 7-9 season, you go, that wasn't so bad. Look at that. And you came on at the end, and it's still
not good.
Pitiful. Yeah. No, it's still pitiful.
And you still got a lot of questions to get answered.
And you got in without any picks.
Yeah.
713-780-3776.
I'm reading some more because Dabo is just Dabo. Dave Doran, who is the coach at NC State, nice win over Liberty. I guess Dabo was talking about how their protocols aren't any different from he talked to the other coaches, and they agree with how he did it. Dave Doran said, actually, we don't leave town until we get our tests back on that Friday. Sure, we have to hang out. It makes our day longer, but we don't get on flights until we have all our tests back. You know, that would have been a simple thing to avoid all this, Dabo.
Mm.
That's all. He didn't say that. I'm adding that last part.
Uh-huh.
He's saying, just wait. We just wait. And once we get the thumbs up, we head out. And if we have a problem, he goes, I don't want to hear about it on the plane. I don't want to get a message, hey, this guy's positive. Because then it screws up everything. And it screwed it up for Clemson. But Dabo not getting all the backing from other coaches in the ACC. Yeah, he said that. I'm looking at it. Everyone's tweeting about it, what he said today. No. I think he's now more unlikable than Nick Saban.
You think he's more unlikable than Nick Saban?
Yes.
Nobody's more unlikable than
Nick
Saban.
Well, you hate him because you're an LSU guy. I don't particularly like Saban that much either, but I think Dabo is now more unlikable. And you know how hard you have to try to become more unlikable as far as press than Nick Saban?
That's ridiculous what
no,
you just
not.
Said.
No, it's not.
It's ridiculous.
I would bet if you
Dabo is heroic.
How so?
Because he wins football games? Isn't that?
That makes you
that's
heroic?
That's what heroes are made of.
So Nick Saban's a hero?
No.
He wins football games.
Did he ever play? No. Dabo played. Dabo's the man.
He's a walk-on.
Dabo's the one of the greats of all time.
I would say I like to compare people to the boys' characters in terms of how awful they are. Nick Saban's probably Black Noir. Dabo's Homelander.
Stop with Homelander.
He's Homelander. He's
1043.
He pretends to be something he's not. He's the worst.
1043. News of the Weird coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 to hang with us here. There's a woman who trained to be a nun, Dell. Apparently, she's not going to be a nun. She's decided to become an adult film star instead.
Well, if you like to do stuff, being a nun is not the right profession.
Probably not the right profession. She's a Colombian woman. She had trained to become a nun, but instead, Yuri Pineda. Have you seen her?
No.
Okay. A devoted, considered herself a devoted Catholic, but she signed a lucrative deal with Bang Bros.
That is an amazing line.
Huh. Yeah. So that, and she's apparently diving right in.
What's her name again? Is that her real name or her?
Judy, like Judy on the Judy Pineda.
Is that her real name or her adult
name? I don't know if
name?
That's her film name. I don't know.
Judy. Is it spelled like Judy?
She hasn't lost her faith, though, despite her career. It's spelled, yeah, Judy with a Y.
Okay.
She's diving right in. Her first movie had a nun-monk motif.
So she went sacrilegious from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. She was soon recruited to become a cam girl. She hasn't lost her faith, though, which is good.
Well, at least she still believes. There's nothing wrong with believing.
No. And she said there's nothing wrong with her career path. So.
Judy.
That's it. Judy. That's right. We can't do that. What else have? Oh, South Carolina man. Apparently his trailer was burning, but he didn't have his pants. So he ran back in and died. Do you think
there are choices in life you have to make?
Do you think that you would have died to get your pants?
I don't think I would have ran back inside for pants. I mean, was there another valuable item I couldn't live without? I'm trying to think of in my home. What would I have run back in for?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything.
There's nothing?
I mean, you would want to get some of your documents because that's a pain in the ass. But if it means fire or, you know, just going through a process of getting them back, I'm just going to choose to get them, go through the process. I'm not running into a burning home.
No. Not especially for pants. I'll go without.
Yeah, people will understand.
I'll get other pants, I'm sure.
And people may, I don't know if it was cold outside, but people get it, man. If your house is on fire and you don't have your pants on, people will understand why you don't have pants on.
Yeah. Yeah, my house is on fire.
Sorry, you're just going to have to watch me in my underoos. It's okay.
I'm pretty sure I might leave this country.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you promise me that?
No. Well, maybe just this state. Apparently, Walmart wants to sell liquor in Texas, but the U.S. Supreme Court said no.
The current U.S. Supreme Court?
The current U.S. Supreme Court said no.
Huh.
Walmart still won't be allowed to sell alcohol in Texas stores for now.
What's the explanation?
They denied a bid from the retail giant to start stocking liquor.
I didn't even know Walmart didn't
sell Walmart liquor. Argued that the 1995 state law banning liquor by publicly owned companies is discriminatory to out-of-state retailers. And I would agree with them.
So Target's not a publicly owned company?
But they don't sell liquor.
They don't?
Wine.
In Texas?
Wine, but not liquor.
Oh, okay. Hard liquor. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. I think they sell beer, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they not liquor. Can't sell liquor.
So that's why you have to go to Specs?
Yeah.
But Specs, what, they're not public? What Specs designation that they're allowed to do it?
Maybe they're not a department store?
Because what was the ruling? What was the ruling? You can't sell liquor if you're a...
The Texas... The ruling is, but retail giant, liquor sales by publicly owned companies.
So Specs must not be publicly owned.
Ah, there it is. In another, are you kidding me, Del? Apparently, and I can't read it because it's in, this is a paper from newspaper, this is a website from Bruges. But apparently one of their players didn't play and didn't get on the bus because he didn't have his favorite seat. Emmanuel Dennis. He decided that he would not play. He didn't go to the game because he didn't have his favorite seat on the bus. Is there anything softer than a soccer player?
I mean, I'm sure I could find one.
I don't think so.
I mean, Tiger couldn't go to a press conference because his glutes weren't activating, so that's pretty soft.
That's not true. Well, that's fake news.
Was it his back?
His back hurt so bad he couldn't sit in the press conference.
He's soft as hell then.
And that's not soft.
Or do it standing up, whatever.
I can't go to the game because I don't have my favorite bus seat?
You asked me and I found something softer.
That's not softer.
Couldn't even talk to people because he...
Yes, no, he couldn't sit there because he was in excruciating pain.
Stand.
You're the worst people.
Stand, soft-ass Tiger. People. And how about you don't... Flame out at the Masters.
Underneath a busy bridge in Kabul, apparently, Dell,
this is happening. The heroin game isn't what it used to be. So they've decided in Afghanistan that they're going to go crystal meth now. Do you think that's a good trade-off for Afghanistan?
I feel like anytime crystal meth is involved, there isn't a great trade-off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Heroin? Are you upgrading or downgrading?
From meth? I don't know the drug hierarchy.
Well, upgrading from heroin. So, well, I don't know. Are you doing people a favor if you're not producing heroin, instead you're producing crystal meth?
Which
I don't know.
More hurtful. We have a. Do you have a lesser opinion of someone who does meth or heroin?
Heroin addicts are pretty high up there.
But meth, they both do awful damage to you, outside the fact that they'll eventually kill you. But physically speaking, who would you rather look at, a meth head or someone on heroin?
Ooh, well, those lack of teeth hurts.
That's a jarring thing.
Yeah, it is. But the heroin thing, I don't know. That's a tough call. I think that's a coin flip.
I've heard of heroin chic before. I've never heard of meth chic before.
No.
I think I'm going to, if I had to pick someone to look at, I'm going to go with the heroin addict. I don't want to look at a person with no teeth. It's weird.
Yeah, they're kind of just laying around, though, those heroin addicts. Just kind of really skinny, not eating.
They don't bother you, though. Meth people will bother you.
Well, I'm pretty sure a heroin person can bother you.
Well, they'll ask.
If they need heroin.
Well, they'll suggest.
If they need heroin, they're going to bother you.
Well, they might say, let me do something for the heroin.
Or they might rob you for it.
I feel like they're lackadaisical.
Kind of.
Meth people are up.
They'll just take it.
Meth people are like,
the world's largest maker of latex gloves going to have to shut down more than half its factories. Why do you think that is, Del?
Does it have something to do with sex?
Nope. Almost 2,500 employees tested positive for coronavirus. Ooh. So the people that are making our gloves to prevent us from getting the coronavirus apparently have the coronavirus.
2,500 of them.
2,500.
Are we clear on whether surfaces can transfer the coronavirus to you?
It is Malaysia. And they do use migrant workers for the most part.
So they probably weren't all that concerned about their well-being.
Working conditions, I don't think, are going to be great there.
Who's the company? Does it say?
The world's largest Malaysia's top glove.
Oh, never heard of them.
Never heard of them.
It's a bad look, I would say.
Yeah. You're going to be making us all our the preventative measures? Oh.
I wasn't worried about that. I was thinking it was a top, because I don't wear the gloves. It was a tough look for you know, because 2,500 of their employees got sick.
Well.
Not the gloves possibly having corona.
Oh, well, there's that too, though.
Yeah.
We added a little something, a little layer. That's it. We're done. The press box is next. We only got one day left before we hit the Thanksgiving holiday.
Have you picked up your goodies from Yanni?
No, I'm getting them Thursday morning, actually. Oh,
he's doing a special thing for you.
Well, Frankie does it over at the Shepherd location on Friday mornings, and I got in on that one.
So
most everybody's got to pick theirs up today, tomorrow.
You're getting yours hot and fresh.
Usually all tomorrow over at 18th Street. Yeah, I'm getting mine hot off the press.
Pays to know people.
It is. It is good to know. The Damarises especially. Well, not really. 1056 ESPN.
Only at Thanksgiving.
Only at Thanksgiving. Only the one day a year. It's good to know them. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.